Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to a Friday morning on the Steakhouse. Steak Shapiro, Rusty Manziel, and I made my buddy Mikey.
Yes, sir.
Hey, yo.
Listen, I mean, three hours.
This guy's
got a lot more in him, and I said, you got to stick around. We are 6 days away from the draft. I know what I know. I know people are driving around Atlanta right now. It's a beautiful day. They're all going to be out golfing and enjoying.
Record high, maybe. All-time record high, maybe.
Mid to high 80s,
89.
Right?
89.
So I was like, we just need to talk football, dude. Like, we just haven't talked enough football on our show. And I said, I got Rusty here. I got Mikey here. Yeah. And I'll take a backseat to some of that. But good morning to you. How's your week, Mr. Rusty?
It's good.
Did you stay overnight in Athens last Saturday night?
No,
Friday?
I was there Friday night and drove home actually.
Friday night, right.
Yeah, stayed up. Yeah, it was great. A lot of people in town.
I saw a deer on the side of the road around the Paces area yesterday and immediately thought of you because this deer was just not
morning,
in a good place.
This morning, when I went to get steak Bojangles this morning, that's where I got KO'd in Cartersville. It was like a wedge buster on kickoff. That dude hit me wide open. I kept thinking, how in the hell did I not total my
Black
car?
How scary was that?
That was wild. It was, to be honest with you, I told you before, I thought I hit somebody.
Right.
I thought,
oh my God, for real.
When I stopped my car, I'm telling you, my heart stopped for a minute. I was like, please, because you never know people having a rough go at it in life.
Stumbling into a car.
Because I'm telling you, as hard as that hit.
Oh my God, that's like,
I immediately am thinking about the movie, I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Where
You never found the deer, right?
No,
I found it. I know what you did last summer.
It would not have been, if not for the 8 pounds of deer hair and my bumper, I'm telling you.
That deer just took off, stumbled off.
That dude, and when I left that morning, I went by slow and looked in all the grass, looked everywhere. My man didn't make it. He was receiving friends later.
What kind of damage was that like?
$16,000.
Your insurance premiums must have been through the roof after something like that, right?
Wasn't my fault.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying. When
my agent basically told me you don't want to hit three deers in a year.
Right. Okay, one is okay.
You can square one up, but she did tell me, she was like, Rusty, it's like it was in December, it's like the rut, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to say, when you put your zip code in, they have to factor that in.
Oh, dude,
yeah.
There's no question.
They're like, dude, these guys up in Rome.
If you hit a deer on Peachtree three times.
Right, and then you're like, You're gluing hairs to the bumper.
Yes.
And I was like, this guy's up to something, man.
Let me tell you.
I've never heard of a dude in Buckheads hit two deer in the last 2 months.
Let me tell you, that deer hit me, and it was I felt concussed.
Man. Yeah.
It was crazy.
Dude.
I just want to say I really, really appreciate you going to Bojangles this morning.
I made a conscious effort to leave our house early this morning.
No, I know you did.
There's a guilt trip.
But the only thing is,
it's always a
I have been hearing about the Bojangles breakfast sandwich forever.
They don't have a breakfast sandwich.
They have a biscuit.
They have a biscuit.
But isn't there stuff in between?
Yeah, but it's not a sandwich.
Oh, it's not.
I know they call it a sandwich in Valdosta.
Yeah.
The free world is a Bojangles biscuit.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to. I literally was driving here.
Yes.
Because I don't want sweets. I want that protein, the cheese, the biscuit. I know people online are making fun of me. Like, how's that guy never been to Bojangles?
My man Danny Healy from Boston, who does Tom Brady's podcast, David Andrews' podcast, I met him. Super, super cool dude. He goes, we don't even have that here, and I want one. So me and you're going to open one in Boston.
We're done.
Call the boys. We want to end cap in Boston. Get your boys.
You know when they open them southern brands up north, people lose their minds.
So they just opened one. I got a friend in Colorado, and he moved from Georgia
to open it.
They just opened one. He moved to Colorado years ago. He goes, Rusty, the biggest thing I miss is Bojangles, and they just opened one up there. People are like cracked out.
Yeah, it's like when we got our first Whataburgers or whatever it is.
Oh yeah.
So I'm gonna Whataburger.
Can you get me the franchise rights to New Hampshire? For Bojangles.
You guys sound like the Dropkick Murphys.
The best comment, the best comment of the day was like, damn, State's going to have a Southern accent by 10:30.
No doubt. Listen, there's nobody that loves Popeyes more than, you know, Popeyes out of Louisiana.
Yes.
And when you eat Popeyes, when you go to school in New Orleans, it's a different.
Popeyes has a better lunch than Bojangles.
Yeah.
Man to man.
That's what I know. Bojangles, okay. Breakfast. Yeah. Biscuit, breakfast. Listen, biscuit.
I'm going to bring you a chicken biscuit next week.
Please.
And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do two things. I'm going to bring you a chicken, Cajun chicken biscuit, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to bring you a pack of Marlboro 100s because you're going to need one when you get done.
Just off in the corner.
I was about to make a comment.
I need a moment.
I've been giving Steak my Whataburger order for months now. I don't know if he's ever followed through with it, man. The fully loaded taquito. You don't get the bacon or the fully loaded, the sausage, the potato, and the bacon on taquito, and then you get the sauce.
Everybody in the office right now pissed off. All we're talking about is food, making people
What's
hungry.
The place with the butter burger? Culver's.
Culver's. Yeah, Culver's.
Right?
That's from Indiana. That's from Indiana.
There's
Wisconsin.
Like one I know of.
That's the Midwest. There's one in Akron.
Right by the high school up there. It's.
There's one by North Gwinnett up there, too. Yeah, there's one in Woodstock. There's a light. That's a Midwestern place, like this Kim South. Yeah. That was
Freddy's.
Indiana, Wisconsin.
Freddy's is the other one. You're
Freddy's Custard.
Freddy's Custard.
Yeah, frozen
they
custard.
They do the butter burger, too, I think.
All right. I want to talk draft with you guys because we are – and when I have both of you here, and I made an executive decision to say if I believe people in their car right now to get you two guys talking draft, we're 6 days away. I didn't do this 26 days away. Other shows are. Real quick, 9-9. We'll preview the Hawks for you. That's a huge game, and I got a lot of feelings on that way from Quinn Snyder. Dukes and Bell had such a good interview with George Niang. Hysterical, great stuff with him. That guy's got a great personality. We'll do that. What else you need to know? Braves at home for the Twins. Try to get things right tonight. And Georgia Tech.
Huge crowd tonight.
Headed to Miami. And Georgia already beat Vandy.
No, Georgia lost last night to Vandy 3-1.
Oh, they lost one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's coming up. Let's talk draft. I love what you guys were saying about the Falcons. Just update people on the workouts, though, yesterday in Athens.
Yeah, Mykael Williams and Jalen Walker both worked out for the a lot of NFL teams. I would imagine most people were there. You know, the Falcons were there. And the one thing I'll say is Mykael Williams visited on Tuesday, I believe it's Tuesday. Wednesday?
Yes.
Tuesday.
He posted it Wednesday.
Yeah, he posted, I took his screenshot.
I think it was Wednesday.
So he visited, and it's late in the year, and Mark Ross of NFL.com, actually his latest mock draft this morning, he has Mykael Williams going to the Falcons. And that's music to my ears. I know the kid. I love him. But it's more important to me, and I've said this, I'm going to put my Georgia Bulldog heart to the side. My Falcons heart is, let's get the damn thing right.
Get it right.
Just get it right, dude.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Let's get a 10-year player.
I feel exactly the same way, and Dylan and I were talking about the show today. We're like, yeah, he's like, hey, you want to do a mock draft? I'm like, well, what mock are you looking at? I don't know. I'm like, well, who's going to the Falcons? Mike Green. No, I don't need to talk about that, dude. Yeah. Like, I don't need to talk. Like, yeah. I get it. Yeah, we're building up. I don't need to talk about Mike Green mock draft. I want to talk about the Mykael Williams, the Jalen Walkers of the world.
Yeah.
Even, you know, look, man, there's a couple other guys that I fall in love with, but those two guys, and I said this on our show today, Steak, I ignored all the Penix talk last year because I was like, there's no way.
Yeah.
It feels like those Georgia guys right now. We're getting the same level of smoke, right?
I think with what they did for Pro Day and showing up so deep.
Yes.
And now you've got to work. You get an in-person visit late, and then you send your DC there seven days before the draft.
Exactly.
There's some serious to this.
Yeah.
Joe Rivera, USA Today's draft this morning has Jalen Walker at 15.
I would absolutely.
Dude, and I'm thinking Jahad Campbell's going ahead of him. At 14, Will Johnson from Michigan going ahead of him. Colston Loveland, the tight end of Michigan. Kelvin Banks from Texas. Tyler Warren from Penn State. All these guys going ahead of Jalen Walker.
Let me tell you something. Jalen Walker absolutely made a man out of Kelvin Banks two games. Now, it doesn't mean that Kelvin Banks can't be a great player, but let me tell you something. If you take Kelvin Banks before you take Jalen Walker, you're not trusting yourself because
you're not watching the film.
That's why he's a eighth round pick, or he's a number eight pick for what he did against a lot of people think the second best tackle in football.
You know what's funny is since the college football season ended, I have refused to even talk about Jalen Walker or the Falcons because I don't think he's available.
I don't even know how he's from
Carolina, he's from Charlotte. The only thing, we'll talk about this, the only thing I think that could really mess this up is if the Raiders go quarterback at 6, and it's going to throw Ashton Jeanty off.
That's a good point.
There's a lot of different variables there to what the Carolina Panthers do after that. If the Raiders go quarterback, most likely Shedeur Sanders there, it's gonna throw off 7, 8, 9, and 10.
The ripple effect too, and we talked to Mike Dettillier yesterday of the Derek Carr news, where Derek Carr, Carr's up there. Now all of a sudden the Saints are at 9. Even if Shedeur doesn't go to Vegas, now you're at 9 and the Saints going.
And it could be Jackson
Dart. I'm looking at a draft on NFL.com that has Jackson Dart going to the Jets at 7.
Yep.
And has Shedeur Sanders going to the Giants.
I'm telling you.
Giants at 3. So now the Saints won't have either.
We have watched this, Mike, and Steak knows as well. We have watched teams talk themselves into a quarterback.
I know.
Jackson Dart. They want to talk him into Jackson Dart.
Every year. You can go back to the Broncos taking Tim Tebow.
But last year, when they talked themselves into it, it worked, right?
Who?
Denver talked themselves into Bo Nix. Falcons
there was
said
like
we
six,
have to have Michael Penix.
What was like six of the top 12?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so far, one that we worry about the most was the number one pick, right?
Yes, Caleb Williams.
Because I know in New England, they got no qualms about Drake May. They got no qualms about Denver. Right?
A little bit surprised.
Jane Daniels. I want to play this cut for you. Travis Hunter, have you heard this from the Cleveland GM?
Oh, yeah.
I want you guys to comment on this is Andrew Berry, the GM, because you have some thoughts on Travis Hunter as well.
Yep. It's a little bit like Ohtani, right, where when he's playing one side, he's an outstanding player. If he's a pitcher, he's a hitter, he's an outstanding player. You obviously get a unicorn if you use them both ways.
Made the joke earlier that I call my wife a unicorn all the time.
I saw that.
You know what I mean?
You were hoping she's in the car.
Your girl that can do both.
That this guy could obviously be special either side of the ball. John Harbaugh says earlier, there's too much work that goes into both sides of the ball to be good, to be able to play consistently enough on both sides.
I think the biggest concern for me, and Travis Hunter might be one of the top two or three players I've ever seen in my life. He will certainly be a top five player in the history of the state of Georgia. My biggest concern is he's a little thin. And there's a lot of hits that go on. And, you're playing wide receiver, which a lot of people now are starting to project him. Like Cleveland basically said, we want him as a wide receiver.
I was shocked by that.
Yeah. And this guy's incredible ball skills. I'm telling you, man. Freaky. You're going to get the ball. He's going to take a lot of hits, man.
If I was a GM, I would be playing him on defense.
Yes.
And I would be creating a red zone package for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't have to run the deep routes, but you can run the short yardage stuff, and you can use your ball skills.
And you also limit what he has to learn.
Exactly.
Because you go, okay, Travis.
During that period in practice,
here's your 30 plays plus the audibles. Then go just be a ball hawk on defense. Yep. Go do what you do. It's shut somebody down, and we're going to give you touches. Yep. He's young. He's on top of the world. He is
a super freaky athlete. He's going at
2
to Cleveland?
I would take Abdul Carter because I think he's an elite pass rusher.
And then what happens at 3?
I would take him.
I think there's some trades. I think you're dealing with trades.
Travis Hunter will not get past 6.
No.
Well, New England will take him at 4.
But there's no way. Yes. I would
New England will take him and make him a wide receiver.
Yes.
For Drake May.
And that's a coach that I would – that's a coach that I would trust to be able to do that. He's a veteran coach. Yeah, I would trust Mike Vrabel.
All right, we got to talk about Aaron Rodgers. I heard you got somewhere you got to be or not?
Oh, no. Are you inviting me to hang out little longer?
He's still got two bottles.
I liked your Aaron Rodgers stuff.
Dude, I'll hang out for 2 hours. You know me.
Well,
2 hours.
I didn't say 2 hours. I said one more segment. Steak, Rusty, Mike Johnson, Sports Radio 92.9. Hey, it's 9:23. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro. Mike Johnson, nice enough to give me a couple of segments here
his
show.
Big Mikey.
God, you kicked me out of this joint, man. You know I love my job.
Hey, I know it, buddy. You got the energy always.
When you've spent planning periods and done the stuff he's done and the places he's done, it's like me. I tell people all the time. I worked in a steel mill from 1997 to 2001. That would melt the bottom of your damn boots off. I get pissed off to leave my house at 6 a.m.?
Hold on a second. I know you said that. It was 4 years in a steel mill.
I worked 4 years in a steel mill. And
you were how old?
I was 23, 24.
And you were you doing any recruiting also?
I was reading the paper every day. Yeah. I was like who I was.
So, I mean, what year?
What year is that?
97. I remember being at break. You know, you go in at 6 a.m. At 9 o'clock, you get your first coffee. At 9, you get 9 and 9. I remember reading the paper that morning, crushed, that Deion Grant, Jamal Lewis, and Cozy Coleman all went to Tennessee on signing day.
And so you were always interested in that as it related to Georgia.
So my grandfather used to bring to the family reunions, he would bring a piece of paper, and it would have all the top recruits in the country. So I was like 14 to 15 years old. What really got – and I've told both of them this. What got me into recruiting was following Garrison Hurst and Andre Hastings' decisions. If you remember the Sports Illustrated, Andre Hastings, I've talked to him off the record. He may or may not be in the NFL concussion lawsuit. I've talked to him off the record about that Sports Illustrated, because at the time that was one of the first high school players ever to be featured about his recruitment. He had demands. He wanted to wear number one. He wanted to be able to spat his shoes.
Wow.
Notre Dame said, you're going to live with a student, like everybody else is. He says, I'm not coming to Notre Dame then.
Yeah.
He was going to Florida State to play with Bobby Bowden. Georgia got him at the end. But Garrison Hurst, following those two recruitments, they were all Americans, high school All-Americans.
Crazy, all
that, man. Dude, that led me into it.
Yeah.
I've had many conversations with Garrison. Now I've covered Garrison's kids, so now the world's flipped. But
wow,
I've been following it since probably 86 or 87.
Where was the steel mill?
It was in Rome. Okay. The Japanese steel plant.
So it's not there anymore?
Yes. Well, it's called AST, I think.
Is it still a steel mill?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. What's it like when that alarm goes off and you're going to work at somewhere like that? That's not – I mean, I imagine Fridays feel pretty good when you're in a job like that.
No, we would work Saturdays 6 to 12.
You're working six days a week?
6 days a week.
What does it feel like when that air horn goes off at 9 and you get to get that first cup of coffee? That was going to be my question.
Yeah. It was a grind. Like I would literally program robots to cut steel. I would stand there, and then when the robots got, you know what I made? The excavator arms. So the two pieces.
Why did you decide that was the gig? Because that's a lot of folks in Rome were doing.
A couple of my buddies had jobs there, and I was like, oh yeah, paid well.
Yeah.
And I remember going, I'm gonna make $40,000.
And you didn't hate it.
I did, yeah.
You hated it.
Yeah. I'm just picturing him on the movie 8 Mile, where he.
I hope you're a kid,
dude. I'm telling you, sparks.
The little thing that stamps the steel,
dude.
That's crazy.
I'm telling you right now.
4 years.
I'm telling you right now, and people know me that they know I did this, and they're like, so every day I have appreciation for what I do.
No doubt.
4 years.
I've only had a job like that maybe one. I mean, I was a telemarketer at Staples.
Yeah.
So I would sit there with little things on my ears.
Yeah.
Hey there, I'd like to speak to the person that makes your office purchase decisions, please. And then I have my little script. I'm calling from a brand new office retailer called Staples.
Now I'd like to speak to. I shock him when I answer the phone.
But what I'll tell you is that there's nothing worse than a job where you are staring at the clock. Like I knew. You get 15 minutes at 10:15. You got a half hour at noon.
Yep.
You got a 2:30, another 15 minutes. And I'm telling you, like, you want to talk about one of those memes of a guy sprinting out of a building 5 o'clock on a Friday, calling my boys.
This was six to four.
Dude, but I didn't last.
5 days a week.
I lasted, I don't even know, 3-4 months. It's 4 years.
I had a child and decided I needed to be a human.
Well,
and,
good for you.
I quit, well, I quit
that,
going to
listen,
Buckhead
I hope
in
everybody
week.
Gets that kind of appreciation. For life and what they do. All right, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers. Here's what I was saying. I thought you had, you know, you weren't hating on Aaron Rodgers. You said you could kind of relate to how he was treated by Aaron Glenn and the Jets. I would just say this about Aaron Rodgers. It was a thoroughly entertaining interview.
Yeah,
there's no question about that. I mean, he's a fascinating figure. I watched the documentary. Obviously, you know, I've watched Hard Knocks, so my thoughts on him. But he's just, he is completely self-involved. I mean, his level of narcissism, and he's so ready for a fight. He's so ready to tell everybody else they're wrong. It's always that, you know, I'm being done dirty. You know, I don't know. Did the Jets do him dirty the last 2 years? Separate of how Aaron Glenn just did. He's like, oh, it was what I just went through. Yeah. Right? You hear him say what I just went through.
Yeah.
You know?
I also heard the part of the year where he's like, you know, I've taken pretty good care of my body. You know, like, yeah. It was like, yeah, there's a level of arrogance to it.
Here's Aaron Rodgers in the interview saying, I'll play for $10 million.
I had a lot of great conversations with a lot of teams. I've been straight up with these teams from the start about where I was at, you know, starting with the money thing. I told every single one of the teams I talked to, you know, it ain't about the money. I play for 10 M's, you know, I don't care. I never once said I need a multi-year deal, $30, $40 million. I said I'd play for 10.
Mike, let me ask you that. Against the NFL collective bargain agreement, can he do that for $10 million?
Yeah.
The amount of years he's got, can he just say how?
Yeah.
That number's big enough. No, you can't go under a certain
brother-in-law
number.
Like Bosa was trying to do to go play with his brother. There's a certain amount you have
to. Well, you and I are buddies with David Andrews, who, I mean, I talked to him off the, you know, off the record, but offline, he's like, you know, there's certain places they can't pay me under a number because of my years in the league.
Right.
You know, even, so they have to know that if you're bringing me in, here's my minimum, right? Whether I want to play or not.
They know exactly what your minimum
is. So,
no doubt about it.
$10 million's enough. Do you doubt that he said that? I don't doubt that he said it. He's got enough money.
He's got enough money.
I mean, dude, like he's got it. Well, as we used to say in the locker room, he's got his zeros.
He doesn't want to go out the way he went out.
Right.
He doesn't want to go out that way.
Yeah, but I think that plays into it.
Of course.
99% of the people don't get to write the way their career ends, though.
Right.
Let me ask you this, too, Mike.
Right.
Let me ask you this, Mike, as a veteran. What would be the welcoming to him? You know what comes with this guy. Is it like, you know what, we'll put up with him if we can win games? Or do you go, it's about to be a mess with this guy.
I think the NFL locker room thing is so overhyped. And I say this all the time when it comes to Kirk Cousins or whoever. Like, it's so overhyped, dude. Like, these are coworkers.
Right.
They're coworkers. Right. And the whole thing of, like, NFL rivalries and things, like, oh, they're not going to say. Dude, they don't. They're
if he helps you, if he helps you get dubs, then that's better for you, better for your next deal, better for your exposure, gets you to the playoffs. All they care about is he can play. And by the way, we've seen it. I don't think he's probably a bad teammate.
No.
I just think everything around him, right? I mean, they may not like what he says on Pat McAfee, but I don't think he's walking around the locker room, like, you know, telling people his political, espousing his political beliefs.
Not only that thing, but there is this thing where this locker room, people think locker room includes the front office and the locker room. Those are opponents on a daily basis.
And by the way, it's not like baseball where you're on the road with each other, you know, for 10-day road trips, and you guys used to go out for drinks. I'm in NFL locker rooms. Practice ends. You do your thing. You're out of there.
Or an NBA locker room where there's 12 people.
You spend less time with those coworkers than we do, than most people.
100%.
You know, maybe not a training camp, but after training camp, it's a job. Here he is, though, talking about being done wrong by the Jets and Aaron Glenn with his trip across the country.
I figured that when I flew across country on my own dime, that there was going to be a conversation. And 20 seconds in, he goes, I mean, literally, I'm talking to the GM about something, and he leans to the edge of his seat and goes, so do you want to play football? And I was like, yeah, I'm interested. And he said, we're going a different direction at quarterback. And I was kind of shocked. Now, not shocked because I didn't think that was a possibility. Listen, of course, they want to move on. That's totally fine. But shocked because I just flew across country. You could have told me this on the phone.
I agree with that.
That's what I said, the Jets and the money aside, there he's never been more relatable than
that. I feel like Aaron Glenn wanted to, you know, kind of bow up and look him in the eye and say that when maybe they also think there's a courtesy of looking him in the eye. When, by the way, why bring him all the way there? They had made a decision. Too much distraction, new regime. We don't need
But them. Such an Aaron Rodgers comment to make the thing like I flew on
my dime.
All you got to do is say, hey, I came across country and they looked
exactly
me
right.
All you got to do is say,
by the way, those private jet companies, you take one photo of you on one of their planes,
right.
I promise you didn't have to pay for that.
They're fine.
Here he is more on how the Jets treated him in this scenario. It's Aaron Glenn and their new GM.
So I said, huh? And he goes, we just want to know how you want it released, the messaging. And I said, why? And then he said, I don't want to be up in front of the room saying something and have guys looking back at you.
Interesting.
And I said, what does that even mean? Are you assuming that I would be in the back of the room during a team meeting, undermining what you're saying? I said, you don't know me. And he said, you don't know me. And then I said, exactly, which is why I flew across the country to have a face-to-face meeting with you to talk about my experience with the Jets. What I thought was going to be a couple hour meeting turned into like a 15 minute meeting, and I walked out of there.
Whatever Aaron Glenn was trying to get accomplished didn't work. It didn't work, dude. Whatever you were trying to do to smooth over the exit or to take
command, yeah, he just
it did
blew
not
you
work,
up.
Dude. He just completely
He also
blew you
said
up.
About the Steelers and the Vikings, I told them, I have personal stuff. I got a new relationship. I got stuff off the field. You want to move on? Go right ahead. Yes. But I am on nobody's calendar.
Not only that, but if you're Kellen Moore in New Orleans and you're dealing with Derek Carr news, did you not hear that $10 million number and go, wait, what?
Yeah.
So say
who?
He said a lot of nice things about Arthur Smith.
We get that.
He raved about Mike Tomlin. I still think it's going to happen. The Steelers don't have a choice, right? What does it really matter if it happens tomorrow or 2 months from now, right?
Well, I think there's some draft ramifications as far as the Steelers go. But
they're going to draft a quarterback
if something falls in their lap.
Yeah, I think they would.
Yeah, I mean, which they still might do later because Aaron Rodgers is a one-year deal anyway.
Yeah, you're not counting.
They don't have a quarterback.
Franchise, right.
I mean, they don't have a – they've made Mason Rudolph.
They've had three different quarterback rooms the last 3 years, though, Steak, so it's not new for them.
Yeah, they're running out of options.
Yeah.
All right, can you maybe do one more, though? Just one more. That's all.
You guys.
Just
listen,
one more.
Listen, I want you to stay because something just broke about Nebraska, and I'm telling you, with all the bad publicity in college football and everybody talking about NIL, what just broke in Nebraska might be the best thing you've heard in 6 months about college football.
That's a tease. That's a tease.
Good for Nebraska, man.
It's the Steakhouse, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. .941 Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Johnson. Just one more segment.
I got to bring in some more biscuits if we're going to get Mike in three segments.
Yeah. I just got a couple of texts. More of this.
Amen.
On a Friday. We love it. And next Friday, by the way, I promise you I'm going to want you to stay next Friday because draft will happen on Thursday night and then we'll be together on Friday morning.
Dude, I'll be locked in.
A lot to get to over the next 14 minutes or so. We'll get to the Nebraska story in 4 minutes. We do have a legitimate do or die game down at State Farm Arena. We're going to talk to our buddy Salsa, top of the hour, find out how many tickets are left and if you want to go and energy around the game and everything else. It's really simple, though, because I've been listening to all the cuts and a great interview with George Niang. Dukes and Bell had a phenomenal interview with him. It was so engaging. He said it. We shoot threes. That's what we do. We shoot well, we'll be fine. We don't shoot well. We get to run, we'll be fine. If anything other than that happens, and if it's a slobber knocker,
yes,
like Orlando, it ain't going to happen. But there's no playoff Jimmy. Like, this is not world beaters. Miami was the 10 seed for a reason. You know, believe, you know, they had a great night. Tyler Herro didn't miss a shot in the first half. And Chicago had won 7 out of 8. So, like, but that doesn't mean that Miami's going to roll in here. Here's Quinn Snyder yesterday talking about what didn't happen against Orlando. Get good shots.
You know, every team's better when they get shots, you know. And I think the key thing is trying to get good ones. You know, we didn't have enough attempts. And part of that's because, you know, when your opponent does a really good job closing out, or you're not able to break the defense down, there's ways that different teams generate open looks.
Again, Trae Young was just lost and confused in that first half. We were out-physicaled, we're small, all that. Here's Trae talking about, again, it's about making open looks.
Yeah, I mean, that's the name of the game. If any team got out there and doesn't shoot well, you're not going to win the game. So, I don't expect us to go out there and shoot as bad as we did. I mean, only shooting 21 threes is not enough for us. We know that, but we're not also thinking out there on the court how many threes we shot and things like that. But after you go back and watch the film, you watch the game over again, you can kind of understand where you can get more of your shots that we've been getting in previous games.
You'll know if Dyson Daniels clangs his first three threes because he's going to be shooting because Trey's going to be doubled. And you'll know if George Niang gets in one of his heaters or, you know, Terrence LeVert. If we're shooting 4 of 13, 4 of 12, we'll be fine like that. But 21 threes. George Niang said it. We shoot threes. If they go down, we'll be fine. Here he is yesterday with Dukes and Bell.
we're going to continue to do a better job of playing faster, right? I think you guys realize this season, you know, when we're flying up and down the court, the ball is moving around. We have more opportunity to drive closeouts, kick out to open shooters, and take our open shots in transition. Obviously, shooting threes is what we do, and I think we're going to obviously emphasize that moving forward. That being said, playoff basketball does tend to try and slow down the game a little more, and I think, you know, you have to continuously get stopped and be able to play fast if you want to continue to shoot more threes.
Yeah, they just want to play fast and shoot threes. I mean, so it's not the best for the playoffs, but for one night, and I do believe Cleveland that the better that you're not beating the Celtics, you're probably not beating Cleveland, but I don't want to play Porzingis, Tatum, and Brown, so maybe this is better.
No.
Play Cleveland, get the dub tonight. Everybody's going crazy loving Miami. I mean, they're a 10 seed that had a good night. There's no Jimmy Butler.
It's still pick 'em. I saw it as a pick 'em.
I saw Miami favored.
Okay.
On the road. Like us tonight. I'm at the game. We'll know early.
Yeah.
If there's any flow and we're moving up and down, and Trae Young needs to have a good night. So, again, I think it'll be fun to see a do or die game in that building. We'll talk more about it coming up. Big night. Braves also in action at Truist. Let's do a tailgate. A couple of football junkies. When I went to break, I mean, these two are having a love fest about the about the Nebraska news.
He didn't even see the text message. We went through the off the record stuff we just looked at.
I could have gone down that rabbit hole for the next 3 days, buddy. I could have.
I showed him some behind the scenes portal stuff,
dude,
and blew his mind.
Oh my mind.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, having Rusty. Having Rusty on speed dial is a good thing.
I don't get paid for my writing skills. You ask a question, dude, and he's like, if I don't know, I'll find out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's
So talk about what you said before
Nebraska.
The break.
So everybody, Nebraska was one of the schools that canceled their spring game, and Matt Rhule was the first one to say, hey, look, I don't want people scouting my team. So there's new roster limits going into effect, should be signed off shortly. By August the 1st, from what I understand, your roster limits will be 105.
Yeah.
And they're basically going to get rid of the walk-ons. Nebraska has one of the best walk-on programs in the country. I would imagine, Mike, I would imagine they probably dressed 160.
Yeah.
They probably dressed 160.
I bet their locker room is outfitted for 150, and I guarantee they got double.
Yes. Yeah, they're down.
Guaranteed.
I guarantee there's like 388.
Yes.
All right. So Matt Rhule announced this morning that he is going to get all the guys that are projected to get cut to get from 160 to 105. He's going to take those players, he's going to suit them up, and they're going to have one last live scrimmage game in that stadium with fans.
Wow. Are
you talking about freaking awesome?
I just can't, like.
And the amount of plays they're going to get.
I have been around guys that, like, some of my best friends still to this day were walk-ons.
Just dress out A-Day.
Just dress out, dude. Just wanted to suit up.
Yes.
The fact that you will not only and there's twofold to this. First of all, you get to have film if you want to go somewhere else in your career. Second of all, you get to suit back up in that Nebraska universe. It's one of the saddest things about what college football is now, that you're losing these guys at these programs.
I talked to a Power 4 coach, not at Georgia, I would say another major program, and he said their head coach is sick to his stomach. Yeah. They're about to cut 35 players.
Oh, my God.
These are the
he
guys.
He said these guys about to walk in there. Football. He's about to walk in there and tell 35
guys. It's
like
guys, a CEO knowing we got cuts coming.
And these players
and
are walking around.
And they got weeks in advance, and they got to think about it. And I can speak to that a little bit, having been in a situation where you dread for weeks knowing what's coming, right?
Steak, these are the guys that grew up in these towns. They're from Athens.
Dreaming.
They're from Tuscaloosa.
Dreaming of putting on the G.
Been going to games their whole life.
Yes. And it's, you know, grandpa's got season tickets. My first words were go dogs.
Yes.
Those are those people, and they're going to be shown the door.
All right, a couple of cuts I want to play and get a reaction as we continue the tailgate. A little bit of controversy in Colorado about Shador and Travis, numbers retired. You don't have to ask Dion twice what he says about it.
Let's get the elephant out of the room. I don't want to talk about this too long. I'm going to just talk briefly and let it go. We talking about Shador. We ain't talking about nobody else. But his last name wasn't Sanders. We wouldn't have this discussion. Only reason we were having this discussion is his last name.
And his point is he'd be an absolute lock. Others are saying, oh, yeah, you're right, because he's your son. Like, that's not what Deion's saying. Others are saying, do these guys deserve that?
I don't know if I listened to this entire thing. And Deion at the end goes, let me get this straight. Shador doesn't care. And neither does Travis. And you know what? I don't either. And I was like, what?
Why are you dressing
first?
Why
are we doing it? Like, and he's asked the, you know, he's asked the conversation in the press. I'm trying to stay in my lane with this one. It doesn't affect me. I don't care that much steak, but like, yeah, we wouldn't be having the conversation if his last name wasn't Sanders.
That's right.
He's getting in the, he's getting his number retired because he was the conference offense player of the year. That's
so,
it. That's
so fine. Cordell Stewart was a 2-time All-American. He led Colorado to 2 top 10 finishes. There's never been any discussion about retiring number 10.
Yeah. Well, Rashawn Salaam, their eyes wanted.
Yes.
They waited 24 years to retire his number.
Yes.
And there's been guys, and this is where I kind of fold back into it. Like, there's been guys that are that were part of that program decades ago that are coming out and they're like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Their AD is literally telling you, I have no, if Deion asks for this, I have to do whatever he says.
For sure.
Like your, he has, it's
your job is to not any, mess it up.
Yeah. All the leverage is on the Deion side. Please stay. Please stay. What do you want? Okay. Yes. As opposed to common sense.
I don't know why we're doing
which
it.
Which you
now.
Just heard Mike and Rusty give us, right?
Yeah.
Why are we doing that now?
Why don't we, you know, what if Shedeur Sanders goes around and lights it up in the NFL? And 10 years now, you're like, you know what? He had a really good career.
Did you just say Cordell was two-time All-American?
Two-time All-American and 2-10
and the
wins.
Most famous play in college football history,
the
Michigan Hail Mary,
yes,
Michigan Hail Mary he orchestrated, which is more Colorado football exposure than anything that's ever happened to that program was that throw.
And that's the question I have for Rusty. Rusty, is there any upside to doing this recruiting-wise? Like, is there any – like
not anymore.
Right. And that's kind of – like, everything Deion has done has been about exposure, right? But with this, I'm like, what's the, if nobody cares, what really is the upside?
I've been on Shedeur. I said it on Dukes and Bell like 2 days ago. I think Shedeur Sanders is going to be a really good NFL guy if he's in the right system. I like what he's got. He's got some things to work on. There's no argument from me how did he retire his jersey. Tim Tebow's jersey is not retired at Florida.
When you say retired, that I mean, there is Ring of Honor. There is, all-time Colorado Buffalo. There. Yeah. This means nobody can ever wear those
nobody's
numbers.
Nobody's wearing
number two. And he said, actually, he said in this presser, all my jerseys, everywhere I've ever played, my number's retired. It's not. It's not retired anywhere that he's played.
Atlanta's
in the Ring of Honor.
It's not, it's not retired.
It's not retired. Still people wearing his number.
You could certainly recognize those two kids at Colorado without retiring their number.
Yeah, for 100%. Sure.
Absolutely. You could put up something. And
all
say,
right, let me play this for you. You want to set it up, Fran Brown?
Yeah, so Trevor Pena, the All-American, All-ACC wide receiver, 84 catches last year, basically comes into Fran Brown, or I would imagine his agent came to Fran Brown and said, hey, man, business is pretty good, and we're going to need about $2 million to hang around next year.
With all due respect to everybody in the country, to every wide receiver, to everybody that's doing all this stuff, like, if you're going to make $2 million at wide receiver, that's to blow a homie over at Ohio State. There ain't nobody else making that money, giving a wide receiver no $2 million, man, in college. Nah,
the little homie
that
at
ain't
Ohio
me.
State.
I ain't doing that. I can't do it. Unless they tell me that we get a chance to have Travis Hunter, he could come back to college and he could come here and play for us, then he going to get some of my check. But I ain't paying nobody $2,000 this year. Not to me. $2 million, whatever. I just say, yeah, we ain't giving nobody that.
Oh,
Fran,
man,
I know Fran, and he is one of the realest. I saw Keely Ringo comment on that yesterday on Instagram, and Keely Ringo goes, "Coach, to this day, you are the realest coach I've ever had.
Yeah,
ever.
I believe that, and not only that, but I completely agree with everything he's saying, man.
Yeah,
he's
dude,
like, yeah, if Travis Hunter come back, he can get some of my money, but other than that, dude, you ain't getting.
We got
to
save
to me. It would be Jeremiah Smith and Travis Hunter.
Paul, we got to save that cut. We ain't giving no wide receiver $2 million, right? He's like
little homie on Ohio State.
Oh man,
the little homie.
Yeah, I love that, man. It's just and it's crazy. Like think about okay, now he's a wide receiver at Syracuse, right? You got Nico Iamaleava asking for a little bit more money. He's making 2.2 at Tennessee, and they're like, no thanks. So I mean, a wide receiver at Syracuse, quarterback at Tennessee. Like,
you want to play that Urban Meyer cut? If you can, I don't know. Do you have it available? We got a couple of minutes, but if you already played it in the morning show.
No, but it was on the cut sheet, so I know it's got to be back there.
Urban Meyer talking about Nico.
You have zero experience. Everybody's saying, hey, nice job, Tennessee, making a stand. I got a little comment on that. Tennessee plays Florida usually every year in October. Can you imagine if they games going the other way? And Coach Heupel grabs a microphone and stands on the 50-yard line in Neyland Stadium and says, "Hey, it's okay. I made a stand way back when."
I absolutely hate that cut from Urban Meyer.
I don't know that he's the guy that needs to be talking about how to handle
your
team.
You talk about values, principles, moral, whatever else. Yeah. Like, I think everybody was celebrating.
You're talking about a guy that had a piece of journalism written about him. I think it was the SI article. Yes. About him in Jacksonville,
yeah,
which is the greatest insight into that man's ego and personality, the way he treated people in that building in the NFL, and the smugness of Urban Meyer, just, you know.
How about the Vrabel story about him saying, you remember the Mike Vrabel story where he's like, I saw him and he goes, "Hey, how's it going?" Like basically act like he didn't know who Mike Vrabel is. He's like, "Dude, I coached under you at Ohio State. What are you talking about, dude? You don't know me?"
I know some people that were in Jacksonville during that, and they said this dude was absolutely the most hated human being that ever walked in that
Blamed
building.
Blamed every coach for every minute. I mean, and just think about
– treated those players like they were 0-9 high school JV.
Yeah, like they had just shown up on campus and just been de-recruited after signing with Florida, and now I'm just going to abuse the hell out of
them. This ain't Deion where you're going to walk in and say, "I'm bringing my Louis." This is the NFL, buddy.
I heard it a couple of people on the defensive side.
I want to hear so much more about it.
Said, "Hey, partner, you can tote one here. This is grown ass men."
Yep. How about deciding I'm not going to fly back with my team? I'm going to sit and party in some bar because I mean, think about the level of arrogance that is. Hey, want to remind?
See what had happened was.
Yeah, yeah, that was a good look all the way around. Hey, 9 o'clock hour brought to you by the Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. Mikey, thanks for the hour.
I love it, man. Hope you guys have a good
next Friday,
rest of the show.
If you can lock it in, tell wife you won't be home till after.
Is that what it is?
All right.
Yeah.
Day after the draft.
Hang out, man. Look forward to it.
We'll come back. We're going to talk about a big basketball game, man, among other things. Also, we got a pro punter coming in at 10:20. Sports Radio 929. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, home of the Hawks, home of the...
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
The Falcons, home of United, home of Rusty and Steak on a Friday. Mikey gave us a great hour. Hope you enjoyed that. Poor guy. It's not going to be in his contract, but he may be working a little extra overtime after that little time we had, right?
Me and Mike could do – we could talk some football.
I know. Listen, I'm just going to sit over here and think about Bojangles that, you know, you next week they
– Everybody's saying, yeah, should have brought you a chicken biscuit.
Yeah, you should have.
Well, some people are like, look, you had to give him baby steps.
So but that's – but they're not – no – I mean, this is a good item. What was it? The blueberry crunch?
Bowberry. Blueberry
Dude,
crunch.
Please don't talk down to me.
Dude,
it's my name on the moniker. It says the steakhouse.
That thing down like bone marrow.
Andrew Saltzman, head honcho at the Hawks. He's got all kinds of titles, but he's president of this and head of that and booking concerts and all that. And he's responsible. If you have a great time tonight at State Farm Arena, it's because of Andrew. If something goes wrong, somebody else did it, I promise. It's not his fault. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, Stakey?
How do we feel about a single elimination Game 7 type game on a Friday night at State Farm Arena? Kind of cool.
You know, a wise man, and by the way, Rusty, how are you? Nice to hear your voice.
Yes, sir. Doing good.
A wise man once told me that live sports is the greatest reality show on television. So bring it on. I think it's going to be amazing. It's going to be electric in State Farm Arena. And just pumped. Just really excited. Really excited for the game tonight.
A big brand rolling through town. And you're not the only team that has struggled with Miami in the playoffs or in, you know, the Eastern Conference in big games. I mean, the whole Heat culture thing is real. But, I mean, let's be honest. Since you've been at the Hawks for a while, you've seen a lot of postseason moments delivered by Trae Young, and I think it feels like to me, and I know you don't want to talk X's and O's too much. I want to hear about getting tickets tonight, but it feels to me like, okay, whatever. That wasn't a great night, but the reason you're a 7 or an 8 seed, not a 9 or a 10, is because now you get to come home and you have a real chance for every one of those guys that were probably embarrassed by the other night to get another crack at this thing.
Yeah, no question about it. I like the matchup. I certainly like being in the friendly confines of State Farm Arena. We've had a great home crowds all season. They've been electric, and I think these are moments that guys like Trae Young shines. We obviously saw Tyler Hero the other night, and I think we have the perfect complement to defend him in the great barrier thief and Dyson Daniels. I think we play Bam well, so I think it's a good matchup. We split this season. I think it's a good matchup for us, and again, obviously the benefit of playing at home is certainly key for us.
All right. Are there tickets available? It's an early start. Where's the best way to get tickets? I would tell people, hop on MARTA on a Friday night or just head downtown early. I was just at the Omni Hotel the other day filming for Atlanta Eats, or go down to Stats, or go down to, the new Signia, whatever. Just go down there on a Friday, sit out on a balcony, and get ready for a do-or-die game at State Farm Arena.
Yeah, I think that's the deal. Get down there early, a 7 o'clock start Friday. Enjoy it. Get in the building. Obviously, State Farm Arena has amazing food and beverage options in the arena.
So you would prefer if you're gonna drink some libations, they put it on the Saltzman tab inside the building.
Of course. Yeah. Oh, no question about it. Yep. Just open tab. But in all seriousness, get there early. And speaking of great reality shows, halftime will be Shamia, can you say, best friend, Shamia, performing at halftime, which will be incredible. So great entertainment, great energy tonight. Again, 7 o'clock start. That's key. It's a 7 o'clock start.
Get in the building.
Get in early.
Get in the building. I mean, it's like perfect game time, for folks to get home early also if they want. What's the best way to get tickets? Are they available? Give us a little insight into that.
Yeah, we definitely have a couple of tickets available. A limited supply. Get in early. Go to Hawks.com. That's always your best way to go. Hawks.com. Get in early. I think the NBA and hoops specifically, the home court advantage is critical. We need to come out of the gate strong. And just talking to the players and coaches on the basketball side, they respond to it. They feed off of it. So don't think you're just there as a quiet spectator. Come in there. Let's cheer. Let's get rowdy. And let's move on and then see what damage we can do once we get into the playoffs.
Absolutely. Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, I'm not, I'm a little biased, but I didn't want the Celtics. I didn't want to lose a game, but I didn't want Boston. And I think Cleveland's still a team figuring themselves out. And I love us getting in a best of 7 and giving Atlanta sports fans 2 weeks of playoff basketball. So get a W. I can say this. You don't have to. The Heat, Rusty, they're very smug. Pat Riley and Alonzo sitting there the other night, they barely crack a smile. Playoff Jimmy, yada, yada, Heat culture. Give me a break. They're a freaking 10 seed, right? And Jimmy Butler's not walking through that door. So a very winnable game for the Atlanta Hawks tonight, right? I mean, they are kind of a smug organization. Are you allowed to say that? I guess you can.
Again, all fair in competition, but they've had great success, and they have a certain level of excellence, and the Heat culture thing is real. But yes, there's a touch of that.
So I'll give you a stat.
To, knock them off for a few reasons.
I'll give you a stat. Salsa, president of the Atlanta Hawks, and his roommate from college – is president of the Miami Heat.
Oh, my.
So these two idiots are running around at Georgetown. Both guys end up running NBA or being lead dogs in NBA team. Eric Woolworth, the president of the Heat. That's pretty remarkable.
Wow.
Do your roommates ever say, like, dude, that's just crazy that where the two of you ended up?
Well, it was interesting after the Wednesday night game, and Miami goes and obviously does what they did in impressive fashion up in Chicago. Well, let's just say the text chain started. And
all the roommates? Is that like the roommates and whatnot?
Yeah, just all the Georgetown guys. Again, this is many, many years ago. We're talking about, you know, some 35 to 40 years ago. And the text chain starts, a lot of fun. But
that is pretty wild.
Really cool.
That's pretty
really
wild.
Cool. Yeah.
That's cool.
But,
two guys.
But here's the difference.
Yeah.
He has three rings. He has three rings.
Right.
So,
and he'll let you know about it.
Show them on
and he'll let you know about it. All right.
Yeah, occasionally.
Hawks.com. You were going to play Rusty Rocks with us, but then we talked too long. So after the break, make sure you're listening on the Odyssey app. Rusty, what's your top? This is a great topic today, Salsa, by the way. That's the topic.
Top five songs that Braves reporter Wiley Ballard needs to add to his playlist.
I love it. Why do I feel like dating and love and romance and all that is in the air?
This does not disappoint for our guy.
So
can't wait to listen, boys. And thanks for all the support. And see you down the State
Farm. Go Hawks, baby.
Go Hawks, baby. I'll see you tonight. Hawks get a dub. Thank you. Andrew Saltzman joining us from the Atlanta Hawks. Wiley Ballard's top five songs that should be on his playlist this week, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna school him a little bit. He's got some game. I saw it on TV, but he needs a. I'm gonna give him
how
a little extra.
Ridiculous!
Is ridiculous.
Was the backlash
ridiculous?
One of the dumbest things.
My daughter, who's
your daughter, is a reporter.
My daughter's
by
24
the way.
Years old. She's a reporter, and she called me. She goes, "Dad, if I was on air and I did that to a guy, what would you do?" I said, "I'd be damn proud." She said, "You damn right you would be." I said, take a shot. Take a swing.
Right.
The girl was turned sideways to him, looking him in the eye. We know females.
All
if they're not interested, she's turned.
Or just say, I have a boyfriend.
I have a boyfriend.
Or just say, by the way, they cleared it. You don't show up. Your daughter knows this. You don't put somebody on camera if they're not ready to be on camera.
She took the phone out of his hand
and put the
number in. Nobody talks about
that. I hate to say it. Sandra Golden was a sideline reporter for the Atlanta Braves.
Yes.
And she said, it's ridiculous. And by the way, she said, okay, maybe I would have had fun with it if I was, you know.
It was great TV.
It was great. All right.
I got you, Wiley.
Bradley Pinion, he's going to be here for Rusty Rocks, which we're moving one segment. He's also going to play Buy or Sell. So now think about our 10 o'clock hour. We got Buy or Sell. We got Rusty Rocks. We got Three Strikes. And you think there's any other show in town that you're going to listen to? Are you out of your mind? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 99 The Game. Steak, Rusty Manziel, and there's a punter in the house, a real live punter that gets paid professionally, got drafted and everything, and has been around the league for a number of years. Bradley Pinion, front and center. How you doing, buddy? Good to see you.
No, I'm doing good. Thank you all for having me. It's exciting to be here. This is actually my first in-studio radio.
All these years.
I've been doing it 10 years, just finished 10 years in the NFL, and this is my first in studio. I've called in, but never been in studio, so I'm excited.
So you've gotten a full decade for it. So that's a good pension situation, right?
It's a nice little pension,
yeah.
I'd say. Yeah.
Nice.
Not many concussions, not a lot of tackling drills going on. That's the way to do it. That's
exactly
the way to do it, man.
It's like our buddies, Chris Redman, Matt Schaub, guys like that. It was like, dude, you know, backup quarterback, NFL, especially when Matt Ryan was here, because you're never playing.
Yeah.
And you ain't making less than $4 million, and you ain't ever seeing the field. And it was almost like Shabby's like, I don't know, why would I not keep doing this, right?
You got a good golf game?
I'm okay. It ebbs and flows with I don't play during season.
Yeah.
So it ebbs and flows. Like in the off season, I'll get down to like an 8.
Yeah.
And then kind of when the season starts, I'm betting like a 12. So it like just fluctuates.
Eight's pretty strong.
Yeah,
though.
Strong, dude.
Pretty strong.
Not as good as our buddy Drew Butler. I don't know if you know Drew.
Drew's like a scratch from
dude,
what
Drew
I
Drew is yes. legit.
Yeah. yeah.
Right?
Don't let him, good don't, old let, don't let him take him. Don't let him pour pitiful me.
So he hosts right. Mondays with us. Okay. He's here every Monday. Does a great job. So you're going to play Buy or Sell with us coming up. But I do want to, and you're going to hear Rusty Rocks, which is probably the most important segment of the week. But let me ask you about the trip you just took and this Compassion International. You just came from the DR, Dominican Republic. What was it about? What was the Falcons' connection to it?
Yeah, so it kind of all started. I work really closely with an organization called Compassion International, and their whole mission is to release kids and women and families from poverty all across the world. And it's something that's near and dear to my wife's heart. And we actually got to go on a trip with Compassion to Tanzania in 2023.
Wow.
Oh, man.
And it broke our
hearts
to see the poverty that was there.
Some idea what that looked like.
I'll put it to you this way. I would rather be homeless in the United States than live in poverty in Tanzania.
Mm. Like mud huts and stuff?
Yeah, mud huts. We got to see a Maasai community. Maasai communities are basically nomadic communities that they live and build these straw mud huts in the middle of basically the safaris out in Tanzania. Mm. We got to go visit them. And just the experience that we had, we were like, man.
Jeez.
It was heartbreaking. And we actually got to go with some former players. We went with like Carson Palmer, Jordy Nelson, Steve Stenstrom were kind of people on the trip. And you become family with these people and you know, don't even know them. But it takes like a day or two to get to that point. It's such an emotional trip that you just kind of like it just breaks you down and you become family. And we got back from the trip and my wife was like, hey, like, how cool would that be to go on a trip like that with like people that you already know? So you kind of skip those first 2 days of kind of getting to know each other and you just kind of like dive in because you already know each other. And I was like, you know what? Like, let's see if the Falcons will do it. So I went to Greg Beatles, our president, and was like, hey, got this crazy idea of I want to take guys to the DR and I want the Falcons to be involved with it. And Greg was like, yeah, sure, absolutely. Like, if you can get Raheem to sign off on it, like, we'll do it. So I walked down the hall to every team's office and said, hey, I got this crazy idea. Love to do it. And he goes, yeah, absolutely. If you can get Greg Beatles to sign off on it, we'll do it. And I was like, well, he already signed off on it, so we're doing it.
Right.
And the Falcons were just amazing. Raheem let me steal team meeting time to talk about it to the guys, which is coveted. I mean, team meetings are,
of course, are valuable.
Yeah.
Everything to the minute, right?
Yeah. So I got to steal team meeting time. They were gracious enough to let Compassion come in and talk to the team. And we had about 8 guys and their wives. And I think in total with all staff and everything, there was about 20-25 of us. Raheem and his wife were on the trip. Greg Beatles were on the trip. And it was just life-changing.
So what do you see over there at the DR?
Yeah, kind of the same level of poverty, honestly. They're living in houses, and you can't even call them houses. I mean, the room we're in right now is bigger than the houses that they have. They don't have windows. A lot of times, no electricity, no running water. They're walking miles to get water. And just the poverty is kind of like next level. I mean, it's just like it's really hard to put into words what you're seeing. And Compassion comes in and gives these people a fighting chance.
So what are you doing? What is Compassion doing? And by the way, Bradley Pinion with us, Falcons punter on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's the tangible stuff you can affect?
Yeah, so they help provide food. They help provide training for jobs. So they're not just giving them the food because they don't want to just deliver them to rely on Compassion. They want them to rely on the church, and they want them to rely on something other than an organization so they can rely on themselves. So they teach them skills. They give them food. They give them medical help. One of the big things Compassion does is survival centers. It takes moms while they're pregnant and then the baby up to a year after and gives them medical care, helps them with all the resources. I mean, I have a 15-month-old, so all the resources that you need when you have a child that we just take for granted, honestly, in the United States that they don't have, the Compassion provides all
What's your day consist of on a trip like that?
Yeah, so you go and see centers, and centers with Compassion are sponsored with the local church. And so you go to these local churches, and you get to go to – we went to Batez. Batez are sugarcane communities, essentially, in the Dominican Republic. And you're going through, like, miles of sugarcane, and you drive up on this little community, and you're just loving on the kids.
Yeah, the kid stuff must just be heartwarming and heartbreaking at the same time.
Yeah, it wrecked me. We didn't have our daughter when we went on the trip the first time, and this trip to the DR, we had our daughter, and it was just kind of imagining my daughter in those shoes.
Yeah, I mean, you lose, in a lot of ways, you lost the lottery. There's nothing about our lives or our kids that, we just happen to be born in the right country.
Exactly.
Born to the right family. They have the opposite.
Yeah.
They don't have a shot. We have every shot, mm-hmm. right? Living in a city like Atlanta and growing up and, you know, whatever it is, having, you know, everything available to us mm-hmm. and that they don't have.
And in the DR, what was happening is these sugarcane companies are going to, like, Haiti and getting Haitian refugees and bringing them to the DR and promising them a better life. But it's honestly kind of modern-day slavery. Like, you only get a house if you continue to work for them. If you don't work for them anymore, you're kicked out and you're homeless. And can you can imagine basically the poverty there is homelessness. So what homelessness there actually looks like is, like, you don't Beyond. Have a chance. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely insane.
Well,
absolutely
it's great crazy. That Coach not only endorsed it,
yeah. but
went on the trip.
Yeah.
And who else was on there with some of your teammates?
Yeah, so me and my wife, J.D. Bertrand, and his, I think now, fiance, mm-hmm. Troy Anderson and his girlfriend, Caden Ellis, Raheem and his wife, Greg Beatles, Fernando, our director of player development.
Fernando Velasco.
Yep, and Lovey, who is our assistant director of player development. We had one of our training staff members and her husband. We had Carmen Gee, who is kind of over the football side of community relations.
So what can folks do to learn more, get involved? Get their church involved. Where's the place to land?
Yeah, so there's really easy. It's just compassion.com, compassioninternational.com. And you can kind of go see exactly what Compassion is all about. You can sponsor a child. I think it's like $46 a month to sponsor a child.
So a lot of churches local here can get involved.
Absolutely.
And trips yeah, and all that stuff.
Absolutely. And if you're a Falcons fan, I actually do a program every year called Punts for Purpose. Punts for Purpose, for every punt I down inside the 20-yard line, my wife and I donate $1,000 to Compassion. And so if you want to join along, even if you're not a Falcons fan, other punters around the league do it. We all get together. There's like 15 of us that get together for 1 week of the season, and we all donate money for every punt we hit inside the 20 to Compassion.
How many guys have had a career this long as a punter in the NFL?
I have no idea. I feel old. That's
not,
all I know.
There's not many players that make it 10 years. That's one. I would imagine he's in the 1st percentile at any position to make it 10 years.
Yeah. So the average NFL career is 3.3.
Yep.
3.3 years. Mm-hmm. Unless you make the opening day roster your rookie year, mm-hmm. Then it's 6.1.
How is Raheem Morris different from Jim Tomsula, from Kyle Shanahan? Trying to think of all your coaches.
Jim Tomsula, Chip Kelly. Kyle Shanahan, Chip Kelly, Bruce Arians, Todd Bowles, Arthur Smith.
Wow, that's Raheem. Quite a group right there. Yeah. So
quite a few.
First of all, you learn that just you don't know who your coach is going to be, right?
Yeah, the business is going to be the business.
So your job is do my job.
Yep, exactly. I would say Raheem, the way he builds the culture, and I'm not just saying that because I'm with him now, the culture that he's building here in Atlanta,
How frustrating was last season for you guys to not achieve what we hoped was going to happen?
You know, I really didn't view it as frustrating. So I was fortunate enough to be in Tampa and win a Super Bowl in Tampa, and it reminded me of the season before we won the Super Bowl in Tampa.
With Bruce Arians.
We were just one or two pieces away from being really, really good that year when yep. we were in Tampa, and then obviously we got kind of the greatest quarterback to ever do it, and that helps, but just that it really reminded me of that, where it was changing the culture, because that was Bruce's first year and kind of first years in Tampa, and just changing the culture and kind of making it into what he wanted it to be. And then that next year is when everything started clicking.
When Tom Brady showed up, was that a tangible difference in, obviously, media wise, right?
Yeah.
And how the Bucs were regarded. But what else is tangible when Tom Brady shows up in your locker
room?
Other
than him going to the wrong house the first day.
Yeah. Just the passion that he brings to the game of football, and then also the way he carries himself, it makes everybody else carry themselves a little bit different. Just because, you know, like, all right, Tom's gonna be on. Like, he's not gonna be off. He's very rarely is off.
Right.
So you got
dialed in at all times.
You gotta be on too. And so it just raised everybody up, just that nidge.
What was Super Bowl night winning? What was that? Who played the Where was the Super Bowl? Oh, it was in Tampa.
It was in Tampa, yeah.
So where was the party?
We were at the the Tampa Aquarium.
Okay, who played? Do you remember?
Yes, I think. They had Migos.
Oh,
not bad.
And the night's a little blurry.
How'd you punt the Super Bowl?
Night's a little blurry.
How'd you punt? Yeah, how was your Super Bowl?
It was good. I actually had a tackle in the Super Bowl,
oh.
believe it or not.
All right, we're going to play buy or sell.
Let's do it.
When we come back. And we're going to play Rusty Rocks.
I'm getting text messages right now. People are threatening
me. I understand. I've got a lot to...
I can talk ball.
We're going to go Rusty Rocks, the five songs that
Wally Ballard
should be playing this week. We'll buy or sell, and we'll do three strikes.
You need to ask J.D. Bertrand about me making him a four-star.
Oh, yeah?
He owes me.
Absolutely.
When that happened.
I bumped him from a 3 to 4 at Blessed Trinity.
That's how he got to Notre Dame.
Well, he was committed to Georgia for a while.
Uh-oh. All right, we'll do that. Sports Radio 99. Hey, it's 10:41. Big game of the night brought to you by John Ford. We got a single elimination game. Hawks and Heat tonight brought to you by John Ford and Associates. I'm just going to tell you this. It looks too easy for these folks to think they saw Miami the other night. Miami was up by 26 at the half. The Hawks looked terrible at Orlando, lost by 25.
Coming home.
So the smart money, it's the smart money's on the Hawks tonight. Meaning the public's going to be like, oh, Miami will kick their butt. It's my don't go by one game. I think it's an even pick'em game. You know, I mean, Bradley Pinion's here. He's done great things for the community. I'm trying to do that too. Go make some money. Bet the Hawks tonight. That's my community service.
Put that in my
whatever
wedding,
you know, whatever
put
I can do.
Put that in my wedding fund.
Whatever I can do for the public. All right, we got a lot to get to here. Also, we'll play buy or sell and three strikes coming up. But without further ado, the most acclaimed part of the week. It's time for Rusty Rocks.
All right, we got to be quick. We got a lot of stuff going on.
We got plenty of time.
We got Wiley Ballard,
plenty of time.
The Braves sideline reporter, went viral this week, and a lot of topics and people had opinions, and I give my opinion, and I thought it was great TV. I know Wiley. He does the state championships. He does the flag football state championships. Great young man. Got a girl's phone number. Congratulations. But Wiley, I'm going to give you a little bit.
He had some good game, though. Smooth.
He's a good-looking dude now.
Kind of understated.
Good-looking dude.
Very handsome.
Westminster in him right there. He's
okay.
A little charmer. But, Wiley, Uncle Rusty's going to help you out. Put a little bit on your playlist, man, to help you out.
Top five songs.
Top five songs that Wiley Ballard needs to add to his playlist this week. And we're going to dig into some multiple years. This one's from 1977. A little easy. Got to have a little smoothness on your playlist, man.
Phenomenal song.
Yes.
That should have been his walk-up song to those two girls.
That's the walk-up.
Right?
That's the walk-up
song. If you were going to set that with her with her phone.
Yes.
And you had that playing.
Have him slow-mo. Slow-mo.
That's good.
This is what happened after he met her, though. Number four is also old school, 1975. Fooled around and fell in love. Elvin Bishop.
Who sings this?
Elvin Bishop. How many times they played this at Johnny's Hideaway, you think, late night?
This is good stuff right here.
One of my all-time favorites. I don't care where, when, how many times this made the list. Maybe the most ever on my Rusty Rocks from 1976. Bob Seger.
You can't beat Bob Seger.
You can't beat Bob Seger.
Anytime you put on Bob Seger,
it's so clean.
I think that might be my number one when I'm putting the sound system in the morning, try to get a good vibe. Bob Seger, Pandora, let that sucker go, crank it up, wake up the whole house.
I went deep a couple years. These next two, pretty easy for me, though. This is another class. I think Bradley will like this one, too. Everybody likes this guy. One of the best all-time pure singers. Al Green, baby. Let's stay together.
So you're kind of old school. You know all this stuff,
I do
Bradley?
Know all this stuff. Yeah.
He'll know the next one. I get back into some.
Hold on. Let's hear a little Al Green, bro. Yeah, somebody's driving around Atlanta listening to this.
Listen.
This is the vibe.
This is like windows down.
Yes.
Driving down 85.
First spring
sitting
day.
Sitting in the 85 traffic, and you're just listening to this.
Nice, Dave.
You know, they want you to wake up with gratitude every morning.
Yes.
I'm sure that's the thing with church and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You play this song, you say, we are lucky to be where we are right now.
This song went
viral.
This
is number one?
This is number one,
number
man.
One.
This is from 2004. So I jumped from 1972 to 2004. This is still a good one. This one hits good. This is Let Me Love You. Mario.
Now you're getting into what my wife likes to listen to. I do know all these, too.
Is she listening right now?
I doubt it. We got a 15-month-old. She's probably running around the house.
That's okay. My wife hasn't listened barely to me in 25 years. Great
she
list.
She listens to Rusty Rocks, though.
She loves Rusty
Love
Rocks.
You, Kim. Love you, Kim. Safe travels.
Great list. Top five songs should be on Wiley Ballard's playlist.
You're welcome, Wiley.
This week. Dude, you got to put that out to him for sure,
I
right?
I did. I put it out to him.
All right. Bradley Pinion is here, punter for the Atlanta Falcons. 10th year coming up?
No, going into 11. Just finished 10.
Damn.
Dude.
Yeah.
How many times have you physically locked somebody up, took them to the ground? 10, 12? How many times have you made the touchdown saving tackle? Because I know punters all remember that.
Eight?
Yeah.
Eight. I have eight. I think the only time I've ever made tackles is touchdown saving tackles.
Who's the most dangerous guy you've ever punted to and the coach said, he better not touch it? This week, who would that be?
Tyreek Hill. Yeah, I was in San Fran. Tyreek Hill. My coach came to me early in the week and said, "If you average 35 yards and out of bounds, I'll give you Player of the Week." Wow. I averaged 37 out of bounds.
Oh,
player of the week.
Man.
Hey, go through last year, 2 years ago, Georgia. What was the stat?
No return yards.
Yeah, it's impressive.
No return yards.
Impressive.
What's the kid's name?
Brett Thorson.
Yeah, you heard about Brett Thorson,
yeah,
Australian.
Yeah. Speedy recovery for Brett.
I saw him the other day.
Zero return yards. Yeah.
I saw him the other day. I was in Athens for a G Day, and he walked around the corner. He looks walking great. Unfortunately, he got rolled up on ACL and the ACC championship, making a tackle.
Yeah,
you know, but he's a good guy. Everybody loves him, but man, he hammers it.
He does. Very good punter. Hopefully, he doesn't take my job.
We're going to play by ourselves, but let me give you our three strikes question. Get that in as well. My favorite punter, and Bradley doesn't count. You cannot name the guy on the radio. My favorite punter, the farthest you've ever been from home. You said you were in Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
What's the farthest you've ever been from home? And great. And what's your Get Busy song? Your Get Busy song. My favorite punter, farthest you've ever been from home. And your Get Busy song. Don't embarrass us in front of an NFL player. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. We got about 8 minutes left here. We'll do buy or sell, and then we'll take your calls. 404-726-0929.
You understand the game? You understand what he's about to say here?
Mm-hmm.
Bye. Okay.
All right, buy or sell. Now, I don't know what – you're up in North Carolina, right?
Yep.
I have no idea who your rooting interest is. But Bill Belichick will make the college football playoff at UNC at some point. Bill Belichick, buy or sell?
I'm selling that. I'm a group of Duke fan, so I'm not going to buy anything UNC-related.
How disappointed were you about that finish against Houston, dude?
Yeah, I was very disappointed. I watched the whole game, yelling at the TV. And my wife was like, what are you doing?
I was seeing Cooper Flagg, thinking how close that dude was to playing in the national title and winning one.
That was a one percentile loss.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. One percentile loss.
Yeah. By the way, just big New York Post article. I said this earlier in the week. The Board of Regents, the athletic office, the Board of Trustees, there is no way that they're not saying, what did we get ourselves into with Belichick and the girlfriend and the whole thing going on?
Oh, my gosh.
That thing is a hot mess.
Hot mess.
Yep.
I mean, are you frigging kidding me? What a I can't root against them hard enough. We'll read at least three books this year, buy or sell. We'll read at least three books this year.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
What if you're going to pick up a book, what would it be? What kind of genre?
I'm a big self-help book. Okay. So John Gordon, I'm really big on John Gordon books.
So John Gordon's a good buddy of mine who used to run our number one bar in Buckhead 25 years ago.
Really?
And then he got hooked up, moved to Florida. Mike Smith and him wrote that book, The Energy Bus.
Energy Bus was the first one of his I've read, and I've read Coffee Bean, One Word,
I'm sure
Carpenter,
you've had,
Training Camp.
You don't need to name him, but an energy vampire in a locker room, you know who they are, right?
Yeah.
All right. Buy or sell, you have zero say in the pregame music, on the field, or in the locker room. That you don't get any say, buy or sell. Brad Pinion.
Sell. I have zero say as a punter. About 95% of things.
So you buy. You have zero say.
Yeah, buy. Yeah, I'm buying.
They're not
asking me. They're definitely not asking me. They don't want country. They don't want country or Christian, which I listen to in most times.
We need some good Christian music right now.
We need some Luke Combs up in here today.
Buy or sell. Saints are easy to hate. Buy or sell. Saints are easy to hate.
Buy. Absolutely. I've never liked them.
Not even close by your least favorite team?
Yeah. I mean, I played Tampa and Falcons. I mean,
oh, dude, yeah.
Yeah, that's easy.
Buy or sell, Dabo Swinney has a good sense of humor. Dabo Swinney has a good sense of humor.
I'm selling that one. Yeah. I love you, Dabo, but no.
Tackling is dangerous. Buy or sell. Tackling is dangerous.
Depends on your position.
Well, I'm talking about you for you.
Oh, I'm buying that. It's definitely dangerous for me. Definitely dangerous for me.
Hey. 10 years, he's made 8. Trust me, he's keeping count on that.
That's less than 1 a year. Trust me.
It's awesome.
Buy or sell Tampa beach bars. Tampa beach bars.
What is that?
Or
is
Tampa
that Ybor,
beaches.
Is it Ybor City? Is that still
I don't think it's on the beach, but is there a stretch of bars that's right on the water in Tampa?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you live anywhere near there?
I'm buying, yeah. I live like 5 minutes from
Nobody ever talks about, like, you know, they talk about Panama City bars on the beach and South Beach, but Tampa beach bars.
I think Tampa's pretty spread out, isn't it?
It's pretty spread out, but it's a big city, but doesn't feel like a big city.
Were you on the boat with Brady in the parade?
No, I was on a different boat, but that was I saw it happen, and I was like, Tom, what are you doing,
dude,
bro?
You know the guy had nothing to eat.
Dude, you know
he had like a raisin.
Dude, you know Giselle never lets him touch any alcohol back in the day. We knew, like, he just, like, I'm doing my thing today.
They walked my man out of there.
He was a guy that hasn't touched alcohol in a long time.
He
could tell.
He was first night Freddy.
Oh, that was all right, real quick. Knew you would be drafted in the first 5 rounds. 5th round draft, and you knew you were getting drafted by yourself.
I knew.
Agent told you it's going to happen?
My agent didn't tell me, but I knew.
Has toured Alcatraz, buy or sell?
I've toured it.
Worth the tour?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I thought so.
Do a candlelight tour.
I would love to do that.
Denver altitude is a real factor, buy or sell?
Selling. It actually hurts.
Hurts you?
Yep. It gives you more distance, less hang time, which is a bad combination.
Kyle Shanahan is a superb offensive mind. Kyle Shanahan is...
Buy.
Give us a little insight on that.
Just the way he breaks down plays from a punter's point of view. I am not in the offensive meetings, but I knew what the offense was going to do and knew how he was going to do it because he broke it down so well in team meetings that even a punter who doesn't know the X's and O's of offense or defense could understand it.
Would like to see this concert, or your wife would, this summer. Beyonce coming this summer, Mercedes-Benz.
Yes, absolutely. Bye. My wife would die to be there. She's been to a Beyonce concert before.
You know Greg Beatles. You know Tim Zelasko. I mean, they own the building. She's playing Mercedes, right? 3 nights at Mercedes?
Yes.
All right.
I'm old. I'm going to see Pearl Jam next week.
Love that.
Pearl Jam.
Love it. I'd rather go to Pearl Jam than Beyonce. Sorry, yes. Beyonce.
Yes. All right. Well, just tell your wife's not going to be down with that, though, right? All right. That's good job.
Thank you.
Good job, awesome, buy or sell. Now we're going to do another segment. We still got a couple of minutes. 404-726-09. 404-726-0929. My favorite punter. I'll say Drew Butler because he's one of our partners. But you got one growing up? Do you think of one? Old school Falcons, Georgia?
I mean, I'm 52, so I watched him at the end. Ray Guy obviously was different, you know? I mean, I knew, like, this was a
That is
unique.
So cliched. I mean,
you know, crazy stat now, Ray Guy's stats wouldn't make it in the NFL now.
Because of what?
Yeah, it's like field goal, same thing.
Yeah. His hang time would have made it, but his just distance wouldn't have.
Yeah.
Right. Totally different technique. I mean, nothing's more real than what 50-yarders are now compared to 20 years ago, 15 years ago. Kareem, how you doing, big dog?
State Rusty, my boy, how we doing?
Good, Kareem. Buddy. What's your favorite?
Hey, look, man.
My favorite punter.
I got it. My man, Reggie Roby.
Oh,
yeah.
Reggie
Roby. Yeah, that's a damn good
one. He was a brother. Went many brothers putting, and then he went barefooted.
Barefooted, that's right. Damn, that's a good one.
Great. Hey, the farthest you've ever been from home?
Man, State. Bora Bora. Took the lady to Bora Bora one time. It was so far away. Look, dude, on your room, outside your room number, it had your latitude and longitude on the door.
Get Busy song.
Hey, man, R. Kelly, I know. R. Kelly,
that's 12. Okay. You just, you know,
the
you're not,
whole 12 play out.
You're not hanging out with him. You're just listening to him. Breakfast Barry, what's your favorite punter? Breakfast Barry, my favorite punter.
Happy Easter weekend, guys. The 75 yarder that broke Tennessee's back in 2022, Brett Thorson killed him.
That was
loved
to the 1 yard line.
The farthest you've ever been from home.
No, back when I drank, that would be a story. But we went to Hawaii, which is farther away than Germany, but we went to Hawaii.
Get Busy song. Get Busy song.
Marvin Gaye, sexual healing.
All right, Marine Tim, you get the last 20 seconds. My favorite punter.
He took my thunder, but I love Ray Guy.
Farthest you've ever been from home.
Pohang, Korea.
Get Busy song.
AC/DC, she shook me all night long.
Okay, look at you, sir. Bradley, great work.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming by. I'd
Thanks
love to know
me.
More about how any of us could get involved.
Can we get red helmets at all times?
Yes.
Please.
I'm for it.
Dude, that red helmet and black jersey.
I'm for it.
The players love it. They have to love that.
Absolutely.
You could do good at this thing. You got a great voice.
Yeah, well, thank you, sir.
Yeah. You thought about getting on the air doing anything?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I enjoy talking about nonsense 24/7, so I think I could do it.
You can do radio.
Wait till a little
music here.
Yeah,
and there.
When we're ready to retire, maybe 5 years from now or something. Thank you, Bo. Great job. Andy and Randy are up next. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day. Go Hawks. Bye.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.